endeavors cost us, you know, hideous amounts of money. And we do it for, well, I guess for the fighting spirit. We do it because it needs to be done.
Well, that's kind of why I do my show and why pretty much everybody on Rant Radio does what they do. I mean, nobody's really making any money off of it. And to me, that's why the Internet just fucking rocks, man, because we got, you know, people like you and people like me and people like Sim and Smokehouse and all the people on Rant Radio who are just doing this shit because they feel like it's important and they want to make their voice heard, whether or not they're any good or whether or not they, you know, they're like you or, you know, king of the fucking world, you know. It's just, it's
well, it's funny. I find that, I find myself listening to Rant Radio. I listen to DJ Morgana's show often. I'll come home and I'll throw that on when I'm trying to do some work and stuff like that. And music really is, you know, regardless of, you know, your particular religious persuasion or lack thereof, music really is the closest thing I have, I guess, to the proof of divinity that exists in the world today. So people should have a choice of music, which is trying to be regulated. Of course, now they're reselling all the old pop tunes that they've got the rights to, and there's no real new music being exposed.
Yeah, I hear that all the time. It's just nothing but covers.
Rehash. Yeah, and they're rehashing the comic books, and they're rehashing everything because they're running out of ideas because, you know, the core political state has no soul. And they, since not having any kind of a soul, they can't, you know, come up with anything creative or even halfway remotely decent. So the only way they can do this through this, you know, mass media motherfuck that they try to sell to us as entertainment is to rehash the work of actually brilliant people and acquire the rights to it and steal it.
Right. And unfortunately, because they're so good at marketing and selling stuff, too much of this shit is successful. I mean, I looked at the Lord of the Rings movies, and I'm a huge Tolkien fan.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I could point out all the things that I thought were wrong. And, I mean, I wasn't expecting the films to be verbatim from the fucking books. But they changed so much shit that it's almost, you know, why are they bothering to use the name? But,
well,
you know, you can't argue with the money they made, you know?
Yeah, where's Tom Bombadil? You know, where's that whole major character, you know? Yeah, the Lord of the Rings stuff, I mean, you have to kind of, we've come to a point where we have to be sort of thankful that finally a film got made that we wanted to, you know, and now we've got a Lord of the Rings flavor of the month that's happening and infecting all of our films, you know, sort of like The Matrix did. Somebody comes out with something new and original and unique, then suddenly everyone's emulating it so they can jump on that particular film's bandwagon.
Well, that shit's, you know, been going on for ages. I mean, the disaster film stuff in the 70s, and then after Star Wars was a big hit, all of a sudden you're seeing sci-fi shit all over the place that, you know, nobody wanted to touch beforehand. You know?
Oh, absolutely. And Star Trek was sold as a wagon train to the stars. It was actually sold as sort of a science fiction western.
Sure.
That was how they got it on the air. You know, no one wants to take a risk because the people who are running the media, people who are running entertainment, are doing it with a very clear picture of cash in their minds. This is what they want to do. And people like you and I who sit here and do this for the love of art and for the love of the music and for love of what's there, it's really kind of, in a sense, kind of a throwback to the 60s, where there's a lot of people. We had, like, you know, the Weather Underground and things like that, where information was getting out and getting to people. And that's right now, thankfully, to the Internet, which is, in fact, the greatest invention since the ability to record music. It is now made possible, and we bring information freely accessible to anyone who dares to want it.
And you know what scares a lot of people who want to regulate it is the fact that this came out from the government. It was from DARPA, the military thing, the whole technology.
Of course, yeah.
And you know, it was guys like Al Gore. I mean, when Al Gore talked about, you know, creating the Internet, he wasn't talking from a technological point of view. He just made the shit available to the public. He and other senators
and
congressmen.
Which I think it's so funny that Al Gore did that, considering his wife Tipper Gore dedicated all of her time to destroying music and artists with her PMRC and with her Tipper sticker and everything. I think it's kind of a divine sense of irony that Al Gore stood up and said, yes, I'm responsible for all the porn, me, fuck you, Tipper, you know. I have a big hate on for Tipper for what she did to Jell-O.
Yeah, but you know, whenever politicians or politicians' wives or whenever any public figure gets on that morality thing, you know, eventually it's really all about them. That's just the way that they can score points for themselves among, you know, their donors or whoever their base might happen to be. You know, I don't really think Tipper Gore gave that much of a shit about the effect of somebody saying fuck in a radio song, you know, on somebody's kid. I think she would
True. I mean, and Tipper Gore, you know what? If she wants to buy all the albums she wants and burn them, she can go right ahead. You know, load up, lady. You know, here, want a match? But the problem is when You have morality groups trying to influence the choice of other people. That's where it says you are not allowed to. And by the indication of putting that warning sticker on albums and stuff like that, that hurt a lot of bands. It killed a lot of bands and took away a lot of people's livelihoods because the mass populace, you know, the parents see this. They want it triggers a fear response. They don't want their children listening to dangerous music, you know. And I wouldn't want my child to pick up a gun and start shooting, you know. That whole era of music censorship is almost forgotten now. Everyone kind of brushes it over, but we need to look at that and keep focused on that because that's what they're going to do with the internet. History repeats itself, of course, and if we can keep track of what they did then, we might be able to anticipate of what they're going to do.
I think it's just going to be so much more difficult for them to really regulate the internet because it's just so open and available to everybody, and there's so many things you can do. I mean, you know, 10 years ago, who would have thought that anybody could just get on and make a little radio show and throw it out on the air for anybody to listen to? I mean,
well,
this wasn't possible.
Yeah, it's an amazing ability, but thankfully the foresight of people like Philip K. Dick, thanks to the foresight of people like William Gibson, thanks to the people like Neal Stephenson and the people who can look forward to make projections and see how the core political state will develop and how we can imagine the internet evolving, I don't think they ever will be able to regulate the internet, honestly, because the internet is growing faster and faster, and people are starting to create their own micro intranets and connecting up the intranets. And even if they tried to create the internet 2, the internet 1 isn't going to go away. I mean, they can create another regulated internet. Good luck. You won't get anything cool on it. Everyone's going to stay back and stick with the old internet because that's what the internet is. And if you have a choice, you can just stay on the internet or do AOL.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of, they've been trying a million different things to regulate this, but they won't be able to do that because the people who run the internet are amongst the most intelligent and educated people in the world using technology that up until, you know, very recently was only for the super elite. So really, they've got themselves into a big pickle when it comes to trying to shut down this problem they got. You know, I'm sure they fired the guy who said, hey, let's make DARPA available to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, bad idea. 'Cause now they've really created a problem for themselves. And with the ability for people to share information, even though the Patriot Act 2 in the second article tries to make it illegal for people to share news that they've gathered, this is still going to carry on, and people will broadcast. There will be information, and it will be available.
Sure. And, you know, it's interesting that a lot of the people who are involved in Kazintai, a lot of the people who are involved in politics, and even on, like, the smaller local level, still don't understand how powerful a tool is. Joe Trippi understood it. Howard Dean understood it. And Kerry really didn't because they took the money they had, but they really didn't understand what the net roots, as it's being called, was doing for them. I was talking with my union president. I work in a shop that's a union shop. And, you know,
fortunate.
Yeah. But you know, I'm in a red state. I'm in Georgia, which means the union is not really strong. And the shop is in the process of moving the whole thing to Mexico, basically, where they can pay some poor Mexican guy, you know, $5 a week to work there. And, you know, I had mentioned my show to my union president, and she just like, huh? She didn't understand. She didn't comprehend how anybody could do anything like that. I mean, they're good people, and you know, they're outstanding people as far as, you know, getting things done locally for their workers there as much as they possibly can. But they really just don't understand what the technology is out there and what they're doing for it. And unfortunately, they're so good at holding and keeping power that, you know, they're going to prevent anybody else who does understand it and can make use of it for the benefit of the union workers, not just locally but all over. They're not going to be able to get in there because they lack the political skills necessary to overtake these old-timers who've been around for a long time. So it is kind of a shame when stuff like that happens, you know.
It is a real shame. But there are ways that we can get around that. Now, the concepts of culture jamming is a big one. I don't believe that it's possible to fight the system, but I think it is possible to evade the system and then jam it. I think that if you can use the culture against itself, if you can expose the culture for what it is, if you can talk to people just even casually in conversation and point out, you know that MyScene doll that just came out that trademarked the term shopping spree and all my children now pretend that they're shopping in the mall and their major quest in life is to get a matching handbag? These ideas are not really, no one wants to teach their children that. But the, you know, the big business, the core political, tries to keep everyone in such a state of desperation where they're so concerned about putting food on the table that they're going to be able to take their children away by, you know, force-feeding them cathode ray mutilation of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where media comes from. This is where the whole concept of media control. Anyone who wants to check out a book, Ben Bendikian wrote a book called The Media Monopoly. I mentioned it before, fantastic book. I'd be surprised, actually, if there's a current printing available, because the book talks about how everything you see here is controlled by only a very small number of people. God knows how small that number is now. He estimated by the mid-90s it would be six. So I don't know how small it's gotten now. I mean, everything we see here and do. And, of course, with the coming of the new Patriot Act, where they make the aspect of passing on news and information a terrorist act, you know, and the fact that America allowed for free speech zones to be set up, you know, for protest rallies and stuff like this, the writing is not just on the wall, okay? The writing is on the wall of the death camp. I mean, when we've passed the point of really saying, oh, you know, the end is coming. No, the end showed up. I mean, the world really did kind of think terminate at 2000, but nobody seemed to notice that.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
Pardon me?
I was going to say, go ahead.
But it's a case now of you have the son of a former president as the current president, which under, you know, the American democratic system, I didn't think that was actually supposed to happen. You know, we've got this weird monarchistic lineage. You've got the ex-head of the CIA was running the country, and then he put his son in charge. This sort of a thing, you have, you know, guys who are distant cousins wind up, you know, in the same race for the same job. This is not what the idea of America was supposed to be. It was supposed to be a free and democratic society. This is not conducive with that sort of thinking, you know, big business in bed with big business for big business, and that's it.
Well, we've gone through this stage before. I mean, 100 or so years ago. I mean, that's what Teddy Roosevelt talked about in his new nationalism speech, which if you hadn't read, you ought to read, because he really talks about a lot of the same shit that's really going on now, and, you know, how to break corporate control of the government, which was even more pervasive back then, and control of the media back then.
Oh, yes. And you know, the labor laws that came in, and there's a lot of, you know, things get very, very, very political very quickly, and you have to, it turns into a really, this is where the real war is when you're looking at things like labor law, when you're looking at the core political control, and when you check out across, you know, North America, people aren't really worried about, you know, corporations. They're worried about the next episode of Friends, or they're worried about aliens, or the Beast, or, you know, whatever might be the flavor of the month that people are afraid of, you know. And, of course, we have terrorism is everywhere. My God, you know, we can't go anywhere. We have to be on yellow, blue, green, purple alert, you know, with our M&M color code system watching for our neighbor, who God knows is probably a terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing we'd want to do is actually, you know, talk to our neighbors and organize by any sort of a system and maybe care for each other. I mean, the concepts of compassion that society are built upon are being slowly replaced by a me-first mentality that is just going absolutely bizarre. The ends justifies the means mentality. It's just not working, and it needs to be revamped. Maybe I don't think that... I don't believe that the whole world should be communist, but there's got to be something better than this. This is just disgusting.
Well, the whole economic theory. I mean, if you look at the way the world is run economically, it almost eventually leads to amassing of wealth to just a very, very few people who wind up controlling everything. And you wonder at what point are enough people in the world just going to say enough is fucking enough? We need something new. We need, you know, a new way of talking about economics and how things get done. You know, and like I said, it just comes and goes in cycles. I mean, it happened in Europe in the 20s and 30s, and people keep saying, you know, you can't say it's fascism because, you know, you're still allowed to speak. But they don't understand what fascism really is when you're looking at the point of view of corporate control of government and, you know, control of the media so that, you know, people are just basically brainwashed. I mean, you listen to Bush's speech after 9/11, and it sounds a whole lot like Hitler's speeches right after the Reichstag was burned down. Oh, we're going to get them. We're not going to let them scare us. We're going to get those terrorists. Oh, look, Poland's a big threat to us. Let's go get them.
Oh, exactly. And it was the same story of the Spanish-American War. It was the same story with Pearl Harbor. It was the same story in Vietnam. It was the same story with the Reichstag. It's not broke. Don't fix it. They're going to keep doing the same. Like, come on, man. You got to be high to think a plane hit the Pentagon, okay? Nobody thinks a plane hit the goddamn Pentagon. Nobody does. Everybody knows there wasn't a plane that hit the Pentagon, but yet, Dan Rather, nobody's got the nuts to stand up because they know it's suicide. You know, we've got the most heavily secured building in the galaxy, and yet no one's got videotape of a 757 jet flying 30 feet off the ground, hitting a building at 400 fucking miles an hour. How high do you have to be to believe that? I am too sorry, dude. I mean, I think the 9/11 tragedy is a fucking tragedy. It's beyond a tragedy. It's an outrage, and I'd be frothing at the fucking mouth. And the whole thing was designed so that George Bush could walk out on the lawn the next morning drunk as a monkey with a bottle of Wild Turkey and a 12-gauge and say, yeah, I'm going to go kill me some people in the Middle East, and the whole country would have fucking cheered. It's a little bit too perfect for my liking. Thank you very much.
But strangely enough, I did hear you on your show on more than a couple occasions talk about how we should go out there and kill some of these Arabs and shit like that. Or I heard you say stuff along those lines, and I'm like, huh? Because I couldn't really understand that.
Well, you've got to understand, too, that, I mean, I'm not the word of God here. This is an interesting political thing. I love this. I love this. People say, you know, they say, Sean, you know, you've said this in the past. Yeah, and in my past, I've also shit my pants. But as people grow and mature, you begin to learn a little bit about the world, and you learn a little bit more than you did before. I've never claimed to be any kind of, you know, be-all, end-all authority. I'm just learning like the next guy. Because there is no information readily available that is taught to people in school. So all of us, you, me, everyone, we're all self-taught. It's all a process. You know, do I think that people who, you know, think it's cool to go cut people's heads off to make a point, do I think that's a good thing? No, absolutely not. I think that these terrorist fuckers need to be put down and be put down hard. But terrorist fuckers have been around for a long, long time. What I do think, like, if America was really in Iraq for terrorism, I mean, come on, I don't believe that.
I never believed that from the beginning.
No, no one believes that. And the fact is not that, you know, oh, should we go and sort out the Taliban? Fuck yeah, we should go sort out the Taliban. They're fucking psycho. They're mutilating people. But we also need to sort out China for what they're doing in Tibet. We also need to fucking sort out what's going on with the sex trade in Thailand. You know, if you're gonna clean one fucking fence, I mean, there's a lot more hideous shit. Look at the Sudan. Look at Rwanda. No one gives a fuck because there's no resources there, so no one wants to go down there and do that. It's very easy. I love that. That's how they defame politicians a lot, eh? They'll sit there and say, well, you got a blowjob from an intern, you know, well, so what? What the fuck does that have to do with his ability to govern a country? You know, that has absolutely nothing to do with anything.
Well, the shame of it all is that because they control the fucking media, and, you know,
exactly.
And they sit there, and you know, that they had this whole thing with this poor soldier who asked Rumsfeld about, you know, why do we got to, you know, dig through the fucking garbage to get some armor to protect ourselves? You know, we're the fucking biggest military in the world. Why should I have to do this shit? And Rumsfeld goes off on him, and all of a sudden the whole fucking story is being spun. You know, about, oh, this guy was lying, this soldier was lying, he was put up to it by some fucking reporter. You know, how does that shit happen? And how, well, you know, and it doesn't really bother me that people say that shit, because people have been saying that shit from time immemorial.
Oh, sure,
but
sure.
Why do fucking people buy it? That's what gets me. I can't understand. I mean, I knew he was going to win, but what I can't understand is the mentality of people who voted for George Bush on the basis that he was going to try to personally fucking protect them from fucking Iraq. And now,
no,
fucking
people
Iran?
In Iraq never did shit to me.
Yeah.
I've never had a single Iraqi come up to me and kick my ass. I have yet to have a single Iraqi show up. I found a bomb. There was a bomb. My security company found a bomb at the movie theater I worked at doing security. No one heard about it. Never made the papers. We reported it. Nothing happened. What do I do? Do I talk to the newspapers? Yeah. Did they do anything? No. What's the option? Sweet fuck all. You've got no resources up until now. Now we have the internet. Now we have the ability to communicate. People believe what they see on television. People believe George Bush because it's better than the truth. People do not want to know the truth. The last thing, if you tell people the truth, nothing but the truth and the whole truth, they'll run when they see it coming because the situation is so fucking bleak, nobody wants to believe it. And it's not negative for us to stand back and go, hey, you know what, this is fucked and we need to fix that. Thank God. Thank God that I live in a country that is still free, that I can still stand up, that I can have the ability to learn to read, the single most valuable skill that needs to be spread through the world that is rapidly diminishing. Thank you, God, that I'm able to, you know, talk to people, express my ideas, and encourage other people to express their ideas. This is an amazing ability that you and I have to be able to do this, and yet it's vanishing. And that's why it's so very important that you do what you do, and I do what I do, regardless of our ideology. Even the guys who are white supremacists who get on the air and shout their shit. It bugs me to no end that these fuckers do that, but they need to be able to do that because that's what having a free and democratic society is about.
You have to say that
the good with the bad, and right. The only way you can deal with that is education. I mean, you get the white supremacists saying the Holocaust never happened. I'm all about getting all the white supremacist fucking doctors you can have, and we'll get some Israeli doctors in there, and we'll just kind of rehash this whole Holocaust thing once and for all. You know, where did all the teeth come from, shit pump? Thanks. Your case fell apart. Thanks. You know, it's okay to talk about these things. People need to talk. There should be no real taboo subjects. You don't have to be forced to talk about it, but people should have communication. That's what it is to be alive and to be sentient, is to communicate.
Well, you know, like when some right-winger gets going on something and guys like you and me call them on it, and they already, you know, they start bitching about, oh, I got free speech. Yeah, you got free speech, but we got a right to tell you you're fucked in the head, too. And if you don't appreciate that, then maybe you better move to fucking communist Russia or, you know, the fucking Nazi Germany, wherever you want to go, because that's what freedom means. It means you can say something, but yeah, we got a right to tell you you're fucked in the head if that's what the case is. You know, it's like all the shit with evolution down here. You know, they're trying to say, well, evolution is just a theory, when there's nobody fucking explaining that a scientific theory is different from a political or philosophical theory. You know?
Well, you've got to look further down too. The reason why they're trying to drill down evolution, of course, has got nothing to do with evolution.
It's a power play. It's a fucking
power play. What they want to do is they want to bring about the fundamentalist Christian mindset. Nazi Germany, okay, was a very, very they got themselves into this weird, crazy morality thing they had going on there, and everything was all, you know, Christianity is. I have no problem with Christians. Okay, as a matter of fact, I consider myself to be a Christian, but what I do have a problem with is churches. I do have a problem with any organized structure, you know, spouting off a mob mentality to alter people's personal belief system. You know, I mean, a certain degree of that can't be avoided. I mean, people listening to me right now could be argued that I'm, you know, like my very own weird, twisted version of a Baptist minister wigging out on my own pulpit here. That could be argued. But the point is that I'm not passing the collection plate and getting orders from higher, from some deep, dark power somewhere, be it the Pope in Rome, be it... You know, it's insanity that when you have a religious organization, the separation between church and state is there for a reason, okay? And you shouldn't, if you're going to be governing where you have people and lives and suffering of untold millions on the line, for God's sakes, let's have someone with some logic in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, nobody in this country who is not the avowed religion in any way, shape, or form is going to be elected to fucking anything. I mean,
no,
when
of course not.
You know, when was the last time an agnostic, which is what I am, or an atheist, you know, got elected to anything higher than the post of dog catcher? It's just not going to happen. In this country...
Well, you've also got to bear in mind, too, that when it comes to electing your officials, you must understand that your entire election process has been thoroughly compromised.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's a moot point. I'm sorry about that. That really sucks. But, I mean, it's over. Election process and your sense of freedom is done. The fact that the son of the previous president was elected is proof of that.
Sure.
And not to mention, the guy was the most defamed president in the history of the world.
And he gets reelected. That's the real, you know, when he first got in there, we figured he'd be a one-termer. But as soon as I saw some of the shit they were doing, and all, you know, and I have all of my friends on the left before the election would talk about, oh, it's going to be a Kerry landslide. I said, you don't fucking know what you're talking about. Kerry is not going to win this fucking thing. That doesn't mean to say that I think Kerry was running a bad campaign or that he's a bad person.
Nobody won anything. The thing was fucking appointed. It was appointed when he first won. It was appointed the second time. The fucking votes weren't even in, and Kerry threw in the towel.
Sure.
I mean, this isn't democracy. There's no democracy here. You can't look at the media bombardment that the American people had. I mean, how high would you have to be to believe that that George Bush was actually elected? I'm sorry, I cannot fathom that. I know American people. They're a very gentle, peace-loving people. Even the people who haven't got the education just want their kids to be okay. You know, they want to live in peace. They want to have a good life. They want to be able to have a job where they don't have to work fucking 80 hours a week. This is not... you know, a question of who voted for what. What this is a very obvious indication that your governmental system and your election process has been corrupted, and there is a real problem. And they're using the voting system now is the old joke that if voting worked, it would be illegal. Well, now, I mean, voting, I don't believe it does work. And I think that the last so-called election is proof of that.
Well, I think the big problem is that people don't care enough to go out in the street. Look at what they did in Ukraine. They went out into
the fucking street. They freaked the fuck out.
Yeah.
They freaked the fuck out. And the reason why people don't freak the fuck out here is because there's been no war on this soil. Americans got it a little bit more together because they had the Civil War over there, you know, and then so they had to fight a little bit, and down in the South they're pretty hardcore. But up in Canada, pussies. Why? Because we've never had a war on our soil. We've talked our way through everything. And at some point, it's got to come down where the metal meets the meat.
Well, you know, the people in this country and people who care about democracy and self, the whole idea of self-rule have to take an interest in what goes on above and beyond just, well, I'll watch a few hours of TV before I go out and vote. When they don't do that, when they decide that they don't want the responsibility, that's when the shit gets taken away from them. I mean, that's what happened in Rome. You know, Rome used to be a republic, but people decided, you know, we don't really want to have this shit. Let's let the power brokers like the Caesars and stuff like that, let's let them take over and they can deal with all that bullshit so long as they leave us alone. And, of course, sooner or later, they don't leave you alone, you know. Anybody who wants power wants more of it, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, and this has not changed. There will always be haves and have-nots. But it's through higher moral ideals like compassion and things like that that quality of life can be established. And, you know, now that this, you know, this bloodthirsty mentality of corporate America, you know, to make the profit and everything else, no matter what it is, be damned, this is not going to work. All it's going to do is it's going to wind up, they're destroying the country is mm-hmm. what they're doing. Any way you cut it, they're destroying the country.
And they
don't care
the world,
because
too.
They're multinational.
Right.
They're like gods. I mean, it could be argued. There's people who've pointed out that, you know what, we created these corporations that are, in fact, gods. They're not, you can't point at a corporation. You can't see where the corporation is sitting. It's an idea. It's a concept. It's a religion. And these people, and all you got to do is go to Wall Street to see the real fundamentalist motherfuckers down there, worshipping the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
I know that people have to make a living, and I know that people have to make money. But, and there will always be people who have more than other people, and that's okay. But I just don't think that we should be destroying the planet's oxygen supply.
Well, nobody has a fucking problem with shit like that so long as they're left alone for the most part. I mean, the fucking French Revolution didn't start until the nobility started fucking with things enough that people weren't even getting enough food.
Yeah, it's something that is one of the reasons why I'm glad that there's people like you and that there's influences like Rant Radio. And all I can say is I would just encourage anyone who wants to be involved in the spread media, they should do it, because really, this is the last great push. And once we fall, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
We're done.
Yeah,
there's going to be nothing else, because everything else has been regulated.
There's going to be nobody to speak up, because nobody's going to have the ability to speak up. I want to go back to something that you were talking about earlier about, you know, how the music makers and stuff like that. And I've always felt that the people who are closest in contact to God are creators, people who make write stories or write music, because to me, how else can you understand the thought process of a divine being than to participate in an act of creation?
Do you know what my take is on the whole religion thing, man? This is I'm really going to open a can of worms with this one. You ready for this one?
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, you got to understand. I've got Sean's mathematical formula for God. It works like this. See, God, whatever he would be, she, it, whatever. Okay, cosmic universe, whatever, is infinite. Okay, that's why they're called God, right? And we, as human beings, have 3 pounds of meat that we call a brain, which is finite, okay? So therefore, we cannot understand any part of an infinite God. Even the smallest part of an infinite God, we cannot understand. Therefore, all the world religions, even though they may have some fundamental things that are okay, are none of them are absolutely correct. But therefore, it could also be said that none of them are fundamentally incorrect. So the bottom line is, choose your own belief structure and don't kill people for it.
Well,
now, when it comes to the aspect of creation, Terence McKenna had a lot of interesting ideas about stuff like this. One of the things he said was he's often thought that, you know, it's quite obvious that our ideas in creation don't come from within us any more than the television shows come out of the television, because the box isn't big enough. You know, I mean, there's not enough room inside the TV to make all that stuff. So, yeah, I would agree with you that sometimes people who are creative are closer to, you know, whatever that source might be somewhere along the lines. I'd agree with that wholeheartedly.
Well, also, you know, the point that you bring up is the point that I always bring up. I say, look, you know, we as humans always tend to put things in human terms. I mean,
right.
Well, the reason why I'm an agnostic is because, look, I can't possibly understand the thought process of a being or an entity of some sort that supposedly knows everything and can see everything. I can't understand that. And whenever we put stuff, you know, whether you're talking about a religion or even in our personal beliefs, it's always in human terms. And I think until we really come to terms with that part of it, we can never really understand God in that sense. I mean, I look at God as essentially what the universe is, the sum total of everything in the universe. Is it sentience? I don't know. You know, and unfortunately, people have to have a sense of security about things like this, because everything is so vast and so mind-boggling that, you know, it's very difficult to think of it. So people try to put it in terms that they can understand.
I think that what you're talking about there, I believe, is the actual secret to the whole ballgame. If people stopped for a moment and realized that maybe there was more to life than just making money and having a job, the core political would be fucked instantly. The minute people start to step back and go, hey, wait a minute, maybe this isn't what life is all about, they lose all power. The power of the core political mind is a war of desire. Anyone who's ever done any sales knows that in order to create a sale, you have to establish need first. You have to get the person excited, and you have to explain why they need this, and then, of course, they will buy it. If you eliminate people's needs or show them that the needs that they think they have are nothing more than programmed desires, people begin to get a little bit, you know, harder to control. And this is one of the reasons why things like the 60s movement and the psychedelics and all that was cracked down on so hard, is because, be it right, be it wrong, back in those times, people were getting very existential. Philosophy was flowering. Everything was moving along in these sort of venues. And, of course, now we, rather than taking the information from that age and using it for the betterment of increasing awareness of all humanity, we use it to medicate our children and turn us into docile drones.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you listen to the people that I work with, I mean, it's like to them the job is everything. I mean, I work with a bunch of people who, in science fiction terms, they're basically mundanes. To them, all life is you go to work, there's family and there's church maybe or whatever, oh, the social thing to do, and that's fucking it. There is nothing else, and it's very hard to argue with that mentality. I mean, these are the type of people who can work the same job for 20, 30 years, and some of them have done that. There are people in my shop, in fact, who have been there since before I was fucking born. I'm 43 years old, and I have problems imagining that. And I get bored with a job after a year or so. You know,
yeah.
I want to do something else. I want to move on. And I mean, I stick to it because you got to pay the fucking bills, you got to pay the fucking rent. And, you know, if I didn't have to do it, I wouldn't do it at all. I mean, I'd love to spend all of my time working on the radio show, working on the blog, as I'm sure you would like to spend a lot more time putting together projects.
There's no shortage of work, you know. I would totally agree with you. I would totally agree with you. But the problem is with the mundane, it's very hard. I mean, those listening to you and I right now, I'm not whining here, okay? And I know you'll back me on this it's very hard to do this. It's very depressing to stand up every morning and go, you know, this is the state of the world. It's very difficult to do that. And there is that draw, that temptation to just kind of follow the lie, you know, to just kind of, well, you know, I guess everything will work out. You know, what's on TV? There's a huge draw for that. Huge. So if we can, as people, just start to realize, you know what, there is hope. And you know, maybe you know, take the red pill, take the blue pill. You know, this whole mentality of reality being too horrible to face, we have a fighting chance, and it's because of people like you and people on Rant Radio. It's because of people on internet stations I don't know. It's because of people who organize unions and shops. It's because of these people that we have a fighting chance that the light of freedom has not gone out, and that there is a very, very, very real, real possibility that we are going to come through this within the next 10 years, and it's going to be some light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, I hope so.
I have faith. You know, I do. I think this is going to work out.
I have faith, too, and the thing is, it can either go one of two ways. Either America will wake up and say, we're tired of this bullshit and we want to change, or the rest of the world is going to come and say, we're not going to put up with this shit anymore. You know, we're going to get our asses kicked in Iraq, not because we don't have a better military than the Iraqis, which is a ridiculous thought, but because we cannot afford to sink money into this shit, and it's going to hurt our economy so much. I mean, that's why we won our revolution, was because the British couldn't afford to keep sending fucking arms over here to fight us all the time.
And that's why we lost
in Vietnam the same way, because we couldn't afford to keep sending supplies over. It's too far, and wars of occupation never fucking work. And, you know, and as much as I was against the war to begin with, if we had just gone in there and rebuilt infrastructure, really tried to make lives better for the Iraqi people, then I said, you know what, it was really fucked up that we did it, but you know, the end results at least were worth it, because the Iraqis are free and happy and healthy and getting more of the benefits. But I knew that was never going to fucking happen with these people.
No, of course not. It's about oil. It was always about oil. Every war since the dawn of time has been fought over one thing, and that's resources.
Mm-hmm.
It's always about resources. It's about the ability to make money. And when you realize that and you accept that, what we're talking about here is we're talking about some kind of enforced ethics into a core political structure. We're talking about some kind of watchdog to watch big box companies. And the minute you talk about something like that, of course, the companies are the first people to stand up and go, freedom, freedom, freedom. We want the freedom to rape the world.
Right.
We want the freedom to enslave everyone. We're free to do that. And unfortunately, I don't believe another country is going to invade America. I don't believe that's going
to
happen.
No, it won't be an invasion. They'll do it all economically. They can fuck us over so much without firing a shot, it's not even funny.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And what I have faith in is I think that the average Joe American, the hardworking American, is at one point going to say, you know what, I'm just going to stop. We don't need this shit. We don't need what's going on here. I don't need these fucking gas prices. And fuck it. What we have to do is have to get a sense of solidarity as a nation. You have to have people who, instead of, you know, being afraid on the buses or on the elevators, you have to have people who genuinely give a shit about their fellow man.
Mm-hmm.
And once that starts to happen, you got the core political on the run.